existe a CEO and the team from CBE. You are welcome in this meeting. We have had a marathon of meetings starting from Tuesday, meeting with the department and everything. You are the last one. We may look tired, but you are not. So don't think that's because you are the last one. You want to be clean. I know these members have sharp minds. They are going to take everything that they are saying, comparing with the analysis that they've done on their own after receiving the document, also with our researchers, and the information that we have had before. We will even comment on the issues that were raised in the oversight. Because we don't say just because the oversight passed on, then we forget. No, we don't. We know whenever you are bringing in a report, we'll interact with it and move forward. So what I can say, members and GM, is that the CEO has indicated that the acting chair is not part of the team attending a transformation in Durban. I think we were expecting an invite. We were promised an invite. Honorable Shamalala, you know what? You did ask for it. So we will then turn over to you, acting of the acting chair. Thank you.
Chairperson, honorable members, DM, greetings and thank you for inviting us for this session. My name is Sinenhlanhla Mthembu. I'm a council member at CBE, appointed as a public representative. I come from a legal background. And as you know with me, it's our CFO, Ms. Lindy Jansen van Suren, and our CEO, Ms. Priscilla Mdalose. Chair, may I tender an apology formally on behalf of the acting chairperson. Unfortunately, this date happened to coincide with our annual transformation in Durba. My apologies that the invite never came, even though it was expected. If everything is in order, Chair, I would like to then hand over to the CEO for a report. Thank you.
Yes. Good day, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Deputy Minister, and my colleague from the Department of Public Works. Chair, if you'll allow me, I'll just go straight to our presentation. And the Chair, I'm promising that in our next transformation in Durban, definitely you will be invited. We'll have enough time. Chair, let me just quickly indicate the content of our presentation. I'll take you through the purpose, vision, mission, mandate of the CBE, built environment organogram, our 5-year strategic goals and priority areas, and the performance information, financial reports, human resources, and lastly, the information of the Council for the Built Environment Profession. Our purpose for today's meeting, Chair, is to present the CBE's performance for the financial year 2018-2019. This is based on our annual plan that is based on the commitment that we made on our strategic plan from 2014 to 2019. Chair, then I'll take you through the vision and the mission. May I also indicate that through our strategic plan for the next 5 years, we re-looked into this vision and mission, and when we looked at it, we saw that it is actually not giving us enough energy to take us forward. So in our new strategy planning, we have re-looked into the vision, so we'll be enhancing the vision. So, but currently, I think I'll just take you through our current vision. It says it's an environment built to meet people's needs and aspirations. And our mission is implementing projects and programs that address built environment issues and add value to the built environment professions, government, and the general public. Chair, if you allow me, this mission that we were working on, it was based on the gap that we identified as CBE. So CBE is, the key responsibility of CBE is to facilitate, coordinate, and to ensure that there is monitoring within the built environment. But because of the gap that we identified, we decided that we need to do pilot projects so that we can implement them, learn from them, and be able to advise the key stakeholders within the built environment. Hence, our vision, our mission statement is talking to the implementation of projects. I will now take you through the mandate of the CBE. I'm glad that we have had several engagements so far with the portfolio committee, and by now I think you know our key mandate. But I'm going to take you through, if you allow me, Chair, I'm not going to read all of them, but I'll just identify the key ones. The first one, which is very important, is to promote and protect the interests of the public in the built environment. This one is important, but I think as the CBE previously, we have not been reaching out that much to the public. And then in our next strategic plan, we are making sure that we are putting in marketing so that we are able to go to the municipalities, we are able to reach the communities so that they understand who CBE is and the council that are registering the professionals, so that when the public is encountering problems with the professionals, they know where to report the issues. And then the next one, it is talking to promoting and maintaining a sustainable built environment and natural environment. Currently, I think globally, we are encountering climate change challenges. So at CBE then, we work together, especially with the Council for Green Building, to ensure that our environment is sustainable. And then the next one is promoting ongoing human resource development in the built environment. This mandate, we will work closely with the Department of Basic Education and other academic institutions so that we make sure that we continually produce built environment skills. Chair, if you allow me, I will jump the next one and then and focus to number E, which talks to promote appropriate standards of health, safety, and environment protection within the built environment. CBE, in executing this mandate, we are working closely with the Department of Labor. We have signed an MOU with them so that we are able to, when the public is reporting issues to the Department of Labor, CBE will be able then to take those issues and work together with the council to address those issues. And then number F, we promote sound governance of the built environment profession. We are working closely here with the council. The council have the code of conduct for the professionals. So CBE ensures and monitors that whatever the issues that are reported to the council, they are being implemented. Chair, if you allow me, I'll go to H. We serve as a forum where the built environment professions may discuss the relevant required qualifications, standards of education, training and competency, promotion of professional status, legislation impacting on the built environment. Yesterday and today, we are engaging the professionals and our stakeholders on the issues that on the issues of policies and other legislation that is impacting negatively on the built environment. So our role as CBE is to create those platforms so that there is that continuous engagement. If the policies are not working or if the policies are not implemented correctly, CBE is able to bring together the stakeholders so that we are able to look into those policies and come up with solutions so that we can advise the government. And then lastly, it is to ensure uniform application of norms and guidelines that are set by the Council for the Professions throughout the built environment. We do this through our accreditation visits that are conducted by the Council. And then the next slide, Chairperson, is just to show the relationships within the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure family. We have the Minister, the DM is here amongst us. We report to them. And then we have six councils that report to the CBE. So we have that oversight role over these six councils. The first one is EXA, which is the Engineering Council of South Africa. The State Lab, which is the smallest, which is the South African Council for the Landscape Architectural Profession. SACAP, which is South African Council for the Architectural Profession. SACQSP, which is South African Council for the Quantity Surveying Profession. And we have SACP, CMP, which is South African Council for Project and Construction Management Profession. This one, Chair, is where we find that a number of professionals that are registered in other councils are also registered with SACP CMP. That is why it is a management profession, because it's a number of it's where we find a dual registration of professionals. And then the last one, which is also small, is SACP BP, which is South African Council for the Property Valuer. The next slide, Chair, is just showing our alignment with the NDP. We align to Outcome 4, which talks to defend employment through inclusive growth. Outcome 5, which talks to a skilled and capable workforce to support an inclusive growth path. And then the last one, Outcome 12, which talks to an efficient, effective, and development-oriented public service. And then the next slide, which is slide number 10, it is talking to our five-year strategic goals and the key priority areas. Program 1, which is our administration, it supports our strategic goals, which is to provide the support to CBE, which is thus contributing directly and indirectly to the delivery of all strategic outcome-oriented goals of the CBE. And Program 2, which is Skills for Infrastructure Delivery, it talks to our strategic goals, where we are talking about the transformed built environment with appropriate, adequate skills and competencies responsive to the country's infrastructure delivery needs. And then the third program, which is Built Environment Research, Information and Advisory, it talks to our strategic goal, which is an optimally functioning built environment with a responsive and relevant policy and legislative framework based on informed and researched positions. The fourth program, which is Regulation and Oversight of the Sixth Council, the strategic goal is built environment professionals that operate within a regulated policy and legislative framework. And the last one, which is Program 5, is government policies and priorities. The strategic goal is a built environment that is responsive to the developmental and economic priorities of government. Under this program, Chair, we work closely with academic institutions, because whatever that is happening, we need to make sure that it also talks to the curriculum. And then I'll go to slide 13, which is just a summary of our performance. We had 21 annual targets, and out of these targets, we were able to achieve 18. In percentage, we achieved 86% of our annual targets. And then I'll quickly just go through the highlights of our 2018-2019 financial year. I'm glad that AG is here. We received a clean audit, Honorable Chair. And then one of the key areas that we achieved here, it was the engagement with the professional council. What we have done since we started, we have been engaging with two councils for the built environment in each financial year. The purpose of this engagement is to ensure that we continuously develop skills that are required by the country. So during this financial year, we only engage with the architects and town planners. Chair, if you allow me, the town planners at the moment, they are not part of the fold of public works and infrastructure, but we are working closely to ensure that in future they become part of the six councils. But CBE has signed an MOU with the council for the planners, so that again we are able to monitor what is happening in that area, because our focus is to ensure that there is transformation that is happening within the built environment. And then we also have the Math and Science Support Program. Here we are working with two areas. This is the Eastern Cape, and the other one is in Limpopo. I think the honorable members might ask, why are we not rolling this out in all the nine provinces? I just want to highlight that this is not the core mandate of the CBE. The education is the core mandate of the Department of Basic Education. So what CBE does here is to try and use this program to expose learners to built environment professions. Because of our funding, it's so difficult for us to roll this out in all nine provinces. So what we normally do, we try to identify the service providers who are already doing work on the ground. So in this case, we are working closely with COCA, but in Limpopo, we are working with a school in JNFES. One of the principals is doing a very good work in terms of supporting students, not only from his school, but also around his area. So he brings math and science students from other schools and helps them to improve their math and science results. So we identify such initiatives and try to partner with them so that we can help those students, but also expose them to the skills that we require within the built environment. Another key highlight, it was to work or place 52 candidates. We also do this program, Chair, as a way of, it is also one of our pilot projects, so we understand that some of the candidates are struggling to register. So we try and identify the gaps and the challenges of those candidates, and we link them with the mentors. And we also bring the council, the six councils, so that they work closely with those candidates so that it's easier for them to register within the required time frame. And then another target that we have set for ourselves is to place the interns through the work-integrated learning. Our target was 100, but we were able to place 139 students. Chair, this is not just about placing, but we also help the interns, we give them stipends, because most of them, they are from very poor communal families. So they don't have even money to go and to participate in this workplace learning program. So CBE, we give those learners stipends, but we also help them to find those workplace areas so that they are able to do their practicals that is required by the universities of technology. And then we also do the accreditation visits. The councils are responsible for accrediting the program within academic institutions. So CBE's role is to ensure that they apply the policy of accreditation in a uniform manner. When they go to UCT, they must do the same thing as when they go to Water Street to the university. So we make sure that there is that uniform application of the policy. And then another highlight is what we do in terms of working closely with the municipalities. I think when I started, I said we need to go even further and work closely with the local municipalities. So what we are doing currently is to work with the four metros. So we look into their program, the candidacy program, and we encourage them so that they align their program with our structured candidacy framework. But we don't just end there. We continue to work with their candidates. We also bring the council so that they assist the candidates that are placed in these municipalities. And then we also look into how we can engage our stakeholders. I think I've mentioned this, that yesterday and today we have Indaba. So we use this so that we are able to engage with our stakeholders. So we did this in February on the 7th and 8th. We did have our second transformation Indaba. So the purpose of this Indaba was to really bring together the stakeholders so that we unlock the skills pipeline. What is required is what we have identified as the key need within the skills pipeline is for the stakeholders to mobilize the resources so that we are able to help learners, we are able to help them through bursaries, we are able to help them even by exposing them to workplaces. So it is important for us that we bring these stakeholders, some of them, they are from the private sector, so that our students and our candidates are able to get the help that they need. In program three, Chair, we also focus on research, and these are some of the research areas that we undertook. We did the analysis of the standard for infrastructure procurement and delivery management. CBE engaged a national treasury on this standard, and currently national treasury has actually it's no longer called the standard for infrastructure, but it's now a framework because the industry has been, especially the public sector, were struggling in terms of implementing the standard. Some of the issues that they were raising is that they are not ready, they don't have capacity to implement the standard. So National Treasury, through our engagement, CIDP's involvement, and the department, they are now looking into, they've actually retracted this SIPDM, and now they are looking into developing the framework instead of the standard. And then we also did a research on health and safety regulations within the public sector. We are working closely with the Department of Labor, as I've indicated before. Another research work that we did is around the expanded public works. So I think for us it was to look at the impact of the expanded public works, especially in terms of whether it is absorbing the built environment graduates that we are producing. And then another area that we look at is our mandate and our function to play as an appeals body, because when the professionals or the public, if they have complaints against the professionals, they take those matters to the council. So if they are not satisfied, they bring them up to the council for the built environment. Another key area here is the regulation of the industry, which should be done through the identification of work. We have been struggling with engaging the Competition Commission, but I want to announce that at least now we are having talks with the Competition Commission, and CBE has now been able to scope the work, and we have started to gazette this work, and it's going to help a lot in terms of regulating the sector. And then lastly, Chair, it is we try to assist the council so that they align their governance structures with the King Code corporate governance framework. And we again work closely with them, and we're able to through this, and we submitted the report to the department to this effect. Perhaps just to highlight our key challenges, or the especially the talk to the targets that were not achieved. The first one, it was the ICT governance policies. This one, Chair, we did not achieve it in terms of, we did develop the policies. What was still lacking, it was the controls that needs to be part of those policies. So because of those controls that were not fully implemented, we were not able to achieve the target. And then the second one, it is around the target of establishing the IEDF, which is the Integrated Electronic Built Environment System. This system is going to help us a lot within the built environment, because what we have identified is that there is a lot of fragmentation. There are reports out there, there are research reports that we do not know about, but also in terms of the reports that we receive from the council. So we felt that we need to develop this integrated system so that we are able to use, I think we are trying to be in line with the 4IR, so that we are able to manage what is happening within the entire built environment. But part of this system, we are also developing the unemployment portal, so that we are, those young people who are not employed, they can be able to enlist their CVs and their names through this portal. We also want to link them with the potential employers. So this system is not just for the council, but it is also, we are going to use it also to reach out to those unemployed graduates. But we are also going to have a portal where we have continuous engagement of the issues within the built environment. So we are thinking or believe that this is going to be a groundbreaking system for the built environment. And then the last target that was not achieved, it is the submission of annual performance plans by 4 of the 6 councils. The councils that were submitted were EXA and HHPCMP. The other councils, Chair, because some of them are small, they cited the issues of capacity. But going forward, we want to assure the council, honorable members, that we are working closely with those smaller councils so that by next year, they are able to submit their annual report, their annual performance plan on time. Chair, the next slide is just a detailed target of what I've been summarizing, which is program one. In program one, 2 of the targets were not achieved, and then we had one, which is 1.3, that was achieved. And then slide 22, program 2, we had 7 targets, and all of the 7 targets were achieved, as we can see with the smiley faces. And then program 3, on slide 24, again, we had 4 targets, and all those 4 targets were achieved. In program 4, we had 6 targets. Only 5 were achieved because of the annual performance plans that were not submitted on time by the 4 councils. And then program 5, we had 1 target, and we were able to achieve this target. Chair, if you allow me, I'll just go through to slide 28, which talks to stakeholder relationships. I want also to indicate that in our annual report, we have indicated the number of stakeholders that we have engaged with, but here I just summarize them. The first one is our transformation in Daba, and then also the one that talks to the Mandela Day, that CBE also tried to reach out to the communities around us. the community that we visited is in Mamelodi. We worked closely with the Mamelodi Second Chance Recovery Center, and we went there and we planted trees with the youth that is being rehabilitated there. So if you allow me, can I now allow the CFO to take us through the financial performance, and then I'll come back to talk to the report of the council, of the city council.
Thank you, CEO. Good afternoon, honourable members, deputy minister, chairperson, and colleagues. The CBE had a good financial year. We spent our budget. We actually overspent on 1.5, was 1.5%. However, the funds were committed in the previous year. We had a total revenue that we actually generated of 54.669 million. It is above the budgeted revenue that we anticipated, and the main reason is that we have over collected on CETA funding that we have not budgeted for, that we managed to collect just over 1 million rand from CETA. Then we've received a grant from DPW of 50.1 million, and we also received from the city council a total of 2.1 million in levy. We've got other sources of funding. We put out extra money that we get from the grant into investment accounts. We generate some extra interest, and we keep the money there for two. We've got 2 months' money in our operational account in order to pay for operations. In the meantime, we collect interest, and that amounted to 1 million rand. And then the 1.3 million other income is mainly the CETA funding that I referred to. Our total budget of expenditure was 54.369 million, and the actual expenditure was 55.161 million. So with our rollover funds of the previous year, we utilized that for CAPEX funding. As you'll see on the next slide, our financial performance on assets, positions, none budgeted for. However, we spent 700,000, and the main reason for that was, like I said, the laptops we bought from previous year funds that was rolled over. Just to have a look at, we've got the five programs, as alluded to by the CEO, and I just got from the main variant that you see, which is in program one. The main reason there was basically a vacancy that we had in a senior position. Then our audit outcome for the past 4 years, we've had unqualified and then 3 team audits, and the performance percentages were 73, 76, 90 and 86%. In the respective 4 years. All right, and then the final slide is our current audit outcome. And like we said, we had a clean audit opinion, and then we've had an improvement from the previous year in terms of the quantity of findings in the AG's management report. In the previous year, we had 15 findings in the management report, and this year we managed to reduce it to 2 findings. Thank you.
And then, Chair, in terms of the on the governance issues, I think I just want to highlight that we have improved relationship with the city council, but we are also trying to improve even the way their boards or their councils are functioning. So what we are doing as CBE, we are starting to conduct training for their councils. I think last week Friday we had our first training with some of their council members, so that we are able to align the needs or the requirements of the PSMA with their governance framework. And then within the CBE, we have received the resignation of two councils. The first one was from the EXA. She was the EXA representative. And then the other one was our chairperson. That is why currently we have the acting chair. But the department, I think, is working closely with us so that we can replace those two council members. But what was also, what was still lacking, it was the representative from SACAP. But again, the department is, I think we will be getting those representatives soon, because I know that they are working closely with the minister and the minister on that one.
Right, then on the next slide is HR. They will just give you details about our statistics on each level, from top management to unskilled. I think it's self-explanatory.
Then part C, it talks to the report from the Council for the Built Environment Profession. Okay, I also want to just go through their mandate so that it shows the difference between our mandate and their mandate. Their mandate is around the issues of education. As I've indicated, that they accredit the programs of built environment within the universities, and they are also responsible for research, especially in areas of the built environment. Another mandate is for them to establish international recognition. The third one is to look into the areas of continuous professional development. The fourth one is professional practice examination. Another one is to look into the areas of recognition of prior learning. As we know that as a country, we are coming from our that history where we have imbalances, we have inequalities. So they are trying to incorporate a recognition of prior learning as part of their transformation strategy. The another mandate is to recognize voluntary associations within their areas of operation. And then also, which is the key one, it's the registration of professionals. And another mandate is the identification of work and to develop the policy around the identification of work. And another mandate is the professional code of conduct to ensure that the built environment professionals are conducting themselves in a professional way. If not, the public is able to report them to the council. And another one is the investigation and disciplinary tribunal, should they arise. And then the last one is publishing of professional guidelines fees. I want to indicate, Chair, that I think this is also one of the areas where we had an issue with the Competition Commission. But we have advised the Council that they need to publish these guidelines because it is in their act, it is their mandate to do so. And then slide 38, it is their auditor's report. All of them, they submitted their annual report to Parliament, and they received an unqualified audit opinion. The next slide, which is slide number 39, is talking to the registration statistics. Okay, I think if we look into that, we can see that there is a slight increase in terms of the representation, or in terms of the numbers of the professionals that are registered within each council. But again, if you look at the numbers, you can see that it is not convincing. I think as professionals and as professions, we can do more. But there are areas, I think, Chair, if you remember, that were raised by the president of the council that are affecting the number of registrations. I think they raised a number of issues. One of those issues is the economic status of the country, that you cannot register people if they don't have projects to do and if they are not employed, because for them to register they need money. So sometimes if we look at the issues of transformation, we must also think about other issues that are contributing to the slow transformation that we are experiencing as the built environment. So if we go to slide 40, it's a representation of gender of the registered professionals in the year financial year 2018-2019. Again, this is still problematic because we see that females only make 11% of the total registered professionals, and males make 89%. And the next slide, slide 41, is also the figures that talk to the registered professionals. Now we've put them according to their gender. It shows again what has been illustrated above, that females are still far low in terms of the registration numbers. But if you look at SATLAB, you can see that SATLAB, the ratio is almost now 50-50. SATLAB is one of the smallest ones, but I think they are trying to push women to participate in this space. If we go to slide 42, it shows the racial representation of registered professionals. This also is still a very uncomfortable situation, which I think through our engagement, through our support, we need to make sure that we change this representation. It shows that whites are still sitting at 73%, the Africans at 19%, colored at 3%, and Indian at 5%. The next slide is showing the candidates, and it is important to mention that is why we need to put more emphasis on supporting candidates so that we are able to push them through and enable them to become registered professionals. If you look at the numbers, you can see that at least there is a slight improvement in terms of the candidates. Chair, I'll just go to slide 44, which is an illustration of where we are in terms of registered candidates. If you look at Africans, in terms of candidates, we have 50% of the candidates that are Africans. But what is worrying, I think it was also mentioned when you visited us, that some of these candidates, they remain candidates for over a number of years. So it means we need to change that. We need to make sure that the candidates, if their time frame is 4 years, they need to spend only 4 years, not 10 years. So these are some of the areas that we are continuing to engage with so that we improve the way we work, but we also support our candidates so that they become a fully registered professional. So on 60% is African, 28% of candidates is white, 4% colored, and 8% is Indian. But we need all of the 60% to be registered, not to remain candidates forever or for more than 10 years. And then in terms of the gender representation of the candidates, we still see that only 27% comprises of females, 73% is comprises of males. Again, you see that the graph is still skewed in terms of the gender of the candidates. Chair, I think I mentioned earlier that as part of the transformation strategy, the councils are embarking on implementing recognition of prior learning. So this just shows the figures of where they are in terms of the applications that they receive and the applications that they have registered and the applications that they have rejected. Chair, I'm glad that I think we are coming to the portfolio committee on the 23rd of October. So the councils will be here and we'll be able to engage more on the areas in terms of their mandate and the areas of their challenges, but also the solutions that they can bring to the sector. And then the next slide, which is slide 47, it shows the internal agreements that they have established. And then the slide 48, it shows the complaints that they received and the complaints that they have completed and those that are in progress. We see that EFSA has 18 complaints, SACAP had 25, SACCNP had 4, SACPVP had 28 of the complaints, and SACQFP, they had 7 complaints. And the next column shows the number of those that they have completed. And then slide 49, it shows the voluntary associations that are registered with the council. We see EFSA that they have the highest voluntary association, which is 47. SACAP has 12. SACAP, which is the smaller one, they only have 2 voluntary associations. SACCNP, they have 13. SACCVP, they have 3. And the SACQFP, they only have 1 voluntary association with them. Chair, I think this concludes our presentation. I think we'll await for the questions.
Thank you, acting of the CEO and CFO for your presentation. We really appreciate this presentation, and we also want to appreciate the fact that you have maintained the clean audit that you have been pursuing over the years. I invite members to my questions and comments. Honorable King, Honorable Siwisa. I'm just reminded that the lunch is scheduled for one. I don't know whether let's take those, but if for each one, I will then ask us to adjourn. Maybe let me take only one question. But no, we definitely we only have 10 minutes. We'll see in the which one. But if we reach 1 o'clock. I want to plead with the honorable members that we go for lunch and then come back. In fact, if you can look even at our program, we're saying that deliberations will be done after lunch. But now we still have 10 minutes. It's just fun. Later around. So it's honorable Kring, honorable Suisa, honorable Brian, Sam, honorable Kopana, is your hand up?
Yes.
Okay, honorable Kopana, honorable Mumalo, Honorable
Shabalal. Okay, seeing that we are fighting for time, I will try to keep my questions as brief as possible. Slide 15. With regards to the stipends that are being given to the students, I would encourage that you also have something like a paid back. So we don't just give students without them expecting for them not to give anything back to the system. So whether they pay it back by giving a little 20 rand a month, 100 rand a month, or even giving some kind of service back to the community, back to the country. I can't recall what that second one was about. Slide 21, the struggle seems to be fairly real with regards to your the ICT area. Your targets, 2 unhappy faces. What's the turnaround strategy to ensure that you don't have that repeated in the next financial year? And although we certainly are happy that you've received a clean report, slide 32 shows your performance decrease from a 90% on the clean audit to 86%, so that's a 4% decrease. That 4% 4% deficit. From what particular area was it, and how are you looking at addressing that to ensure that you don't have another 4% decrease or decline in the years to come? And finally, slide 39, looking at the professional registration stats, how accurate are your records? So, you know, you have many South Africans in Mauritius and in Australia, and many of them are professionals who have immigrated and who may not have informed you that they've immigrated. So how do you keep your records updated? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My question would be, what role does the CBE play in rural area schools, specifically to promote the building environment, rather than the learners going to be exposed to building when they get to tertiary institutions? And then the transformation in DAP, is it going to be rolled out to provinces also, or is it only at national level? And then the target of the metros for certain programs, why was it only for the metros and no local municipalities were targeted for the program? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Congratulations on another clean audit. It's awesome to have at least one in our table that's getting it correct. So, and hopefully the inputs we make now and going forward can help you guys to achieve it next year as well. Just some comments and questions. The Department of Public Works published a draft built environment professionals policy in 2014. The CBE then submitted their proposed revisions in 2017. Where are we in this process now? What is the next step moving forward? The CPD program that you are running, are they aligned with the CIDB or are they operating independently? Because obviously the CIDB is also looking at professionalization and professional development. And can we not be making sure that only one is acting? So the CBE then takes on that role on behalf of the CIDB. We've got all these entities working under one department, and there seems to be duplication of work. And I'm trying to push in each engagement that we give each entity a role so that we're not duplicating work throughout the entities. So perhaps the CBD program should be run through you guys and let the CIDB then focus on their registrations and their registers, etc. On page 48 of your annual financial statements, item 3.3, the actual achievement listed doesn't correspond with the target. It speaks about something, and then the achievement relates to school, the science and math. So just check that if you look on that page, on page 48. Page 174 in the annual financials, what is being done with respect to the accreditation of the programs at the educational institutions? Are you monitoring those regularly? Are you visiting them regularly to make sure that you are accrediting? Why do we not receive, and maybe this is just my ignorance as a new member of this committee, we provide oversight over CBE. Who's actually providing oversight over the council? Because if it's not mandatory for them to supply you with their information, who ultimately is providing that oversight? Because it's not coming to us and it's not coming to you guys unless they want to give it to you. And surely there should be some oversight mechanism that's put in place, because it appears to me as though they're kind of doing their own thing and they can kind of share that with you and you're just sort of responsible for regulation, but there doesn't seem to be any oversight of any of those professional bodies. And then also page 188 of the annual report lists the SACAP voluntary associations as zero. For both the number of recognized voluntary associations and the number of voluntary associations not recognized. But in your slide, number 49, you've got 12 and 4 as the two numbers. So there's obviously just an issue in your annual financials. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. My first question is with regard to the registered candidates. The number is 31,637. So as you indicated, there's a problem, but I didn't hear the commitment in terms of the time frame. When are you going to make sure that among those 31,237, they really become registered into the different fields that they study? You indicated really the problem that they stay forever as candidates, but we need commitment. What plan of action are you going to do? And I would like to hear the time frame. According to the presentation on slide 48, you indicated the numbers of complaints by different professions there, but we fail to understand the nature of those complaints. If maybe you can explain what are those complaints about. According to your annual report on page number 92, table 38, the training expenditure, program 3, the research information and advisory, there is a budget, but it's 000. So what does it mean? Does it mean there's no training? You don't do training despite that the money was budgeted for? The other one is also on page 93, table 39, employment and vacancy per program. Program 5, it deals with government policies and priorities, but there's just zero, nothing is written there. What does that mean? The last thing, despite that you've got a clean audit, but the AG was also complaining about the contract extension without obtaining the necessary approval, as well as the deviation route that were used where a normal process was possible to follow. So what is it that you are doing to make sure that the AG, you are on the same page? And as much as you managed to get a clean audit, we are happy for you. But when the AG was doing the assessment in terms of the irregular expenditure, you clearly say that you are part of the people who contribute to the irregular expenditure. That is irregular expenditure, that is 6.1 million, but it's within other entities also, but you are also linked to them. If maybe you can explain that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair, and honourable members, the delegation from PPE. Well, my question would be, okay, firstly, I just want to congratulate you on the constant Auditor General's opinion. And move to page 17, bullet number 3. The final advisory report on the BEP's role in the EPWP was developed. Now, I just want to check as to, because when you made an explanation with regards to this, was to check whether the graduates from in the field of construction or the built environment are being correctly integrated into the EPWP project. I want to get a clarity as to how do we then get the graduates to play their role there. We maybe identify the role of the graduates there and how the how about part of how what is the exactly that they are expected to be doing. And secondly will be the question on the matter of your candidate. You have alluded to the fact that people remain for about 10 years being candidates in respective fields, but I just want to check if there is any action being taken in terms of changing even the regulations of the council. Whether it's the ACP, the MP, the quantity surveillance profession, the architect, to ensure that this process does not become an eternal process of being a candidate, but try to fast track the process of becoming a professional. Because I think some of the reasons why we find this great gap of 17% of white people being professionals versus blacks is merely because of the regulation and the transformation thereof in the industry of being held on to by white people in the majority. So just to check, what are the measures that you said in terms of legislation, the changing of the regulations, and et cetera, to bridge this gap so that we can integrate our people into being professional?
Thank you, Sir Peter. Mine would be around the issues of clean audit. I think I'll take a cue to congratulate you on your best contribution in terms of trying to meet the regulations and legislation. The strategic plan, I'm hoping that the strategic plan will be able to close the gaps that have been identified around the issue of how, whether the community out there are aware of your existence, your footprint in the provinces. But I'll also highlight the issue of the, or through you, Chairperson, I would like us to please elevate the same resolution that we took, that we needed really to meet all the councils so that they give us the brief that will be able to shape the strategy. I also learned that one of the council could not contributed into the findings, negative findings with the, and I'm just hoping that through your strategic plan, or else you may be coming with a well-informed, detailed turnaround strategy around this as to how you will really support them, if it's administratively or otherwise, because it will recur from time to time if you are not able to. Chairperson, I also want to raise the issue of, I wonder if CPE is aware that one of the findings by the AG was around some of the provinces, KZN for instance, it's around the municipality, one of the findings was around KZN, but also it's a certain municipality that I will not mention. But that's why I am saying you need to be cautious when you go to the province and work with the municipality without having to go through the Department of Local Government or through the MEC, because I know that the public workers had a tough time in KZN, and especially if they tell you, let me just be upfront with you, and it's got the address and finding. It's got the negative finding around your EPWP and stuff, so that you go through that. The issue of the revenue collection, I really want to congratulate you on this one. Safe to say that I think there is a lot that you need to know about the registration. Because for me the economic participation, the lack of economic participation around the council will really have the negative, will remain a negative issue around their registration as professionals. But at the same time, being not registered sometimes hinder them to be in the economic mainstream. Thank you, Chairperson.
The questions, the comments are there, but now the time is 15 minutes past one. We said it's one would break for lunch. I then please with all the honourable members, CPE, CM, that we now break for lunch for 45 minutes. Then we come back at 10:40. But we continue with the responses.